Somehow the camera turned itself off. This is all great. I must not have turned it on. Anyway, that's fine. I don't want to be seen like that anyway. This is me on drugs. Bring in Baba Booey. Yeah, we might as well. We're at that point now, I think. What is ignominious? I don't even know what that fucking word means. Ugh. Let me look at it and... I still haven't started the show. You know, let's just start the fucking show and then you can kind of see where I'm at. Shiny, happy douchebags. This is the beginning of the show now.
Masturbation is a normal sex outlet, but should not be indulged in to excess. Those adults who are blocked in this phase from developing normally are called homosexual. Please don't worry about it. Many a boy worries about this. This is normal.
I hope he's not a fag. I hope he's not a drag queen.
I hope he's not a queer.
I hope he's not a mistake.
Although I have to say that with each passing day
I have a few more doubts.
I think he's gay.
He drives a Carmen Gale with pink interior.
There's that lovely dress that makes mine seem inferior.
In the hottest weather he wears pants of leather.
All right, I'm going to start over since that obviously wasn't working. Though I'm sure it's my fault. I'm sure it can't possibly be Ustream's fault. So don't call them and tell them to get their technology better. Blame it on me. Blame it on me, even though I do the goddamn show every day the same fucking time and don't change a goddamn thing. Blame it on me. Not some fucking, you know, sweatshop developed piece of crap software based on some shitty ass flash shit that I didn't even want to fucking use in the fucking first place. Anyway, I'm going to start the show. Can everybody fucking hear me? Jesus fucking Christ. All right. Now, I hope it doesn't end the audio like it did last time.
Masturbation is a normal sex outlet, but should not be indulged in to excess. Those adults who are blocked in this phase from developing normally are called homosexual. Please don't worry about it. Many a boy worries about this. This is normal.
I hope he's not a fag. I hope he's not a drag queen.
I hope he's not a queer.
I hope he's not a mistake.
Although I have to say that with each passing day
I have a few more doubts.
I think he's gay.
He drives a Carmen Gale with pink interior.
There's that lovely dress that makes mine seem inferior.
In the hottest weather he wears pants of leather.
Chance I'd be his lovely girl.
And if I only had the chance, I know we'd dance and twirl.
But he'd much rather swim to France than have to kiss a girl.
If I had muscles and a tan, a face like...
Where did I put my necklace? Does anybody know?
In my jeans.
Well, then he'd probably marry me.
He speaks of Jane Russell and how he loves the hustle.
Talks like Liberace, walks like Wilma Flintstone.
Sounds far-fetched, but when we're playing catch, his wrists seem unattached.
Why do his clothes all match?
Why won't he touch my
snatch?
I think he's gay.
Israeli troops have reportedly pulled out of northern Gaza after days of fighting that killed more than 112 Palestinians in the deadliest military assault on Gaza in years. The assault drew worldwide protests for excessive use of force, but Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert has warned the withdrawal of troops does not mean Israel's military operation there is over. The clashes reached a peak on Saturday after Israel sent in a regiment of ground troops in an operation dubbed Hot Winter that killed 77 Palestinians in 2 days. According to Gaza Health Ministry statistics, 22 children were killed. More than 350 people were wounded. Since last week, 3 Israelis have died, 1 civilian and 2 soldiers. We go now to Gaza to speak with Mohammed Omer, a Palestinian journalist living in the Gaza Strip. He writes for several publications, maintains a blog, RafahToday.org. You were describing over the weekend the smell of bodies and body parts. Where were you? What did you see?
Well, this was yesterday. I found arms and legs and fingers scattered in the streets everywhere. and this was the situation. It's burned the flesh in the streets with children and kids and women. And so far, 130 Palestinians were killed in the last few days. Out of 130, there are 39 children, 10 women, in addition to 370 children who were injured in the last few days. And there is 35% of those cases who were injured in the head and the upper side of the body. This which makes the whole situation at Kamal Adwan Hospital quite difficult for the ambulance crews to deal with such cases, especially those people who are arriving from the far north of the Gaza Strip, where ambulances could not reach because the Israeli bulldozers and F-16s were not able to evacuate the bodies. Right now, I can see also some ambulances. They're trying to get inside one of the areas, and they're trying to get some more bodies into the area by getting the arms and fingers and legs of people that they were not able to reach. And I'm close right now to the area where the ambulances are patrolling and are trying to get the bodies of those people into the hospital. And I can see that they are collecting at the moment by collecting with some plastic bags some remains of human flesh, like arms and fingers and legs, and mostly children and women. And I can say that I cannot identify right now how many the numbers of the people, how many the numbers of the people who are affected by that or who were killed. Right now, I'm also close to one of the medical workers here, and they are trying hardly to get the bodies of the people who are inside the area. Who are inside the area of the northern part of the Gaza Strip. People here, they don't have food. They have difficulty in accessing food. They have difficulty in accessing different kinds of things. And probably you can hear the Israeli F-16 right now. It's hovering in the sky, and it has been bombing since the early morning. And that was the case since the last few days. There is shortages of the fuel as well for the ambulances workers. And I've been talking to one of the medical workers here, and he confirmed to me that 70 kinds of medicines that they could not find in the Palestinian hospitals in the northern part of the Gaza Strip, and that makes the whole situation quite difficult for them. Let me say here that among the people who were targeted or injured, there were three journalists, and one of them was severely injured in the northern part of the Gaza Strip.
He's 5'2" and he's 6'4". He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Laval? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war, and without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from here and there, and you and me. And brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put the end to war.
Anyway, I don't support our troops. And anybody who gets what that song was trying to say understands that. Okay. I watched this Iwo Jima Letters from Iwo Jima program the other day on the Texas Movie Channel, whatever the hell it's called. I don't know if Ted Turner still owns that or what. The TNT or what, Turner Classic Movies, whatever the fuck it's called. And, you know, it's basically the Iwo Jima attack by the U.S. from the Japanese standpoint. And it's like all this fucking honor bullshit, suicide. It's just these poor people just, you know. I mean, I don't advocate drug use. I am completely abstinent from drugs and alcohol for almost 9 years. But these people need to take some fucking acid or something and get a fucking clue, get a fucking perspective. I mean, I don't understand. Do most men just not have the capacity to see beyond, like, the here and now? It's almost like they're dogs, most men. The universal soldier is an animal. It's not a human being, at least as I understood a human to be, where a human makes judgments and has morals and understands things larger than himself, or at least understands that things... God damn it, I haven't been fucking recording. That means I'm going to have to pull it off the goddamn fucking tape. Jesus Christ! Anyway, at least I still have something to pull. I guess I'll just start recording here and then, hang on. Now I'm recording here. So anyway, it's not lost. It's just a pain in the goddamn asshole. Madge Vera says, Madge Rent the War, a documentary. It is life-changing. You know, it's just sad. It's very sad. And, you know, the Palestinians are not without blame either. They fired a rocket which killed an Israeli girl. But as usual, the response was disproportionate. And there was even, I didn't pull this clip from Democracy Now!, but there was even some leader in... some Israeli leader official who said they were going to, that if Hamas doesn't stop whatever their rocket launches into Israel, that they're going to, that Israel is going to they're going, that the Gaza residents will experience a Holocaust. And you have to listen to today's Democracy Now! To get that exact quote, because I'm not 100% sure that it was from an Israeli official, but because I was too busy, I was trying to be prepared today, as you can tell. But but I got sidetracked by all this fucking technical shit. I need to be more like Robert Scoble. I need a quickie cam or whatever that fucking thing's called. Anyway, let's see. All right. What's this, Max? You sent me something from the YouTube, the NBC Nightly News. I'll listen to it now. I don't know what it is. I think, here, wait one second.
Some men worry when they notice that the erect penis has a sort of angle to it. This is perfectly normal. Please don't worry about it. Please don't do that to each other.
A full bladder early in the morning can cause an erection, and this is normal. He may even be somewhat awkward in his movements at this time, and this too is perfectly normal. Sudden fright, tight undergarments, prolonged bicycle or horseback riding can cause an erection. Some of these normal, unexpected erections can be very embarrassing.
This too is perfectly normal.
Please don't make fun of him at this time.
This is what you can expect, and this usually takes place when you have an orgasm. This, too, is perfectly normal. Please be very careful and just blot that area. Don't rub or irritate it for a minute or two. Believe me that that's perfectly normal.
It's normal.
One testicle hangs lower than the other, and that's normal.
She is not sick. She is perfectly normal.
Some men worry when they notice that the erect penis has a sort of angle to it. This is perfectly normal.
Sudden fright. Tight undergarments, prolonged...
The sexual attraction is normal.
There's nothing wrong. It's perfectly normal. This may be very embarrassing to him, but it's perfectly normal. So
this, too, is perfectly normal. This, too, is perfectly normal.
We call that the gang phase or the homosexual phase, where boys are interested in boys and girls are interested in girls. This is a perfectly normal phase of emotional development at this age level. Whatever age level this is started, it's perfectly normal. Those adults who are blocked in this phase from developing normally are called homosexual. Please don't worry about it. A boy should be assured early in life that it's normal for him to have a penis. Please don't worry about an unwanted pregnancy. A full bladder early in the morning can cause an erection, and this is normal. And I said, that's perfectly normal. If they were side by side, you couldn't sit down, and he felt much easier once he was reassured that this is a perfectly normal...
During sexual excitement, the body of the penis, he is not able to produce sperm cells, and in that way will not be able to have any children.
This is from
NBC. But he's a perfectly normal male.
That was from NBC. Oh, no, that wasn't from NBC. Sorry, Max. This is...
On the credit front, the biggest insurer in the world said, yes, subprime the problem, and that caused them to have their first loss ever. But it isn't a credit problem that is just affecting Wall Street anymore. Right now, the credit problem is affecting regular Americans, too.
So?
34-year-old Jack Zentino and his wife, Betty, found themselves with severe financial problems after the housing crisis hit Northern Nevada late last year. Betty, a real estate agent, was bringing little home, and Jack lost his job. With no savings to draw on, they began using their credit cards to pay for daily expenses, to the tune of $30,000. Jack says he knew they were in big trouble when they broke the $20,000 mark early on. The Zentinos are not alone. More and more Americans are saying charge it, using their credit cards to pay rents and mortgages, surging fuel and food costs, as well as daily expenses. A report released this month by the consumer group Center for American Progress claims banks have made it harder to get a mortgage now than any time in the past 17 years, while at the same time pushing credit cards to make up for the lost business. Credit card debt now at a record, close to $1 trillion. Credit Bureau counselors and financial analysts report a credit card binge across the nation as people use their plastic to stay financially afloat.
It's happening most significantly in parts of the country where the housing and mortgage markets are a complete mess. California, Arizona, Nevada, Florida.
And if there's one thing you want to do right now with your credit card, it would be take a look at all your credit card debt and try to find the highest interest rate credit card that you have. That is the one, Lester, that people should try to pay down first, because you got to start paying it down or the debt will get worse.
Remember I was talking about that. Remember how I was getting these? I still have it in front of me. I think these fucking working assets where you get free ice cream. That bullshit. Here's the link that Max sent me. So what else? The Fed recommends that people eat their credit cards. Chris, why don't you go on Skype? What's the problem? You scared of me today? Thank you. Let's see. Walmart allows Honest to Pete blogging. Oh, that's so fucking important. Let's see. Bye, Max. Hillary was on TV on the 60 Minutes, and so was Barack. And it was stupid. All right, I was going to discuss it, but that's dumb. Self-induced climate... Are you there? Oh, I just sent you the link. Okay. How down? Ugh. It wasn't really worth watching. Hello?
Yeah, I gotta turn this off. All right. What is this link to?
Cheryl's vagina. It's that's just the YouTube link I just played, in case you want to edit into the show.
God, right. Look at this woman's neck.
What?
Okay. Nothing. Look
something
at her neck.
Hurts. What?
The reporter's neck. It doesn't matter. No one can see this.
Yeah, they can see it. I sent the link on the thingy, too.
Oh, we're all watching along. He shaves his head because of the baldness. Male pattern. All right. What do you think of Clinton's song? What is Clinton's song? Is that
I don't know what you're talking about.
In the chat room, someone asked, what do you think of Clinton's song?
I don't know anything about it. What are you talking about?
86379, what is her song? All right.
Universal Soldier?
The lesbian theme?
Is that it? Oh, okay.
Half an hour until The View begins for Auntie Vera.
Okay, well, you know what? We really need your countdown, honey. You've already said that twice, I think. But thank you.
Would you fuck, marry, or kill Baba Wawa, Auntie Vera? In the chat. She's excited.
I'd eat it.
I thought we were still playing that game.
Is this Hillary's song? The Cheryl and Mary? That one?
Cheryl and Mary.
Is that it? Is that the Universal Prolapse, that one?
Is it playing?
It was playing. It's not anymore.
Okay. Doesn't matter.
Right.
So you just got your last check from Podshow for the whole month of March? Is that what that covers?
I don't know what I was talking about. I was just pissed off at...
Are you stopping the show after this, or what are you doing?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I have no intention to stop the show. I was just pissed off at Ustream. There's certain times you have to ignore what I'm saying. You should know that by now.
What do you think about us sending missiles into Somalia?
See, it's very easy for me to get attention. All I have to do is threaten to quit the show, and then all of a sudden people care.
Hello?
I need to talk to Cheryl, and she better fucking be there. Because I am going to snap.
I'm sorry she's not.
Why not?
Because I'm busy.
Doing what?
Who is this?
This is Madge Weinstein calling for Cheryl Murkowski, and this is her...
I'll have to have her call you later.
I need to talk to her now. I'm trying to figure out if I should perform my next show live from The Abortionist.
I believe the answer would be yes.
Yes.
But,
can you just quit?
Better at a place with a whirlpool.
Can you at least tell Cheryl to queef? Okay, thanks. That was a friend of Cheryl's.
I gotta go do something. I'll be back in a minute.
Oh, that's great. I'll just sit here and wait. Anyway, so I have more news items. I'm trying to follow the chat room, too. Something's not happening here. Let me put a period in. Yeah, I lost my check connection, so I didn't see what you were saying. Yeah, okay. Well, you didn't say anything. I smell blubber cunts, Andy Melton, lesbian song, Where is Rilch? What do you think about us sending missiles into Somalia? I don't know about the Somalia thing. Can you please send me a link? Sometimes I just don't pay attention. Let's see. Watch the news. Well, I read the news, okay? And when I see things that I don't understand or that I'm an item I don't really want to pay attention to, I ignore it. I don't think I'm the only one in that category. I don't need some nasty-ass peroxided, not brolapsed, but Botoxed cunt to read the news to me. I am perfectly capable of reading.
I got to call you back in a couple minutes because Mayor Ed Koch is in the line. Right, bye.
Mayor Koch. Vera, will you stop counting down? You're making me fucking nervous. And I hate numbers. If you want a real name on this thing, just type /Nick, followed by your nickname. So, like, Nick Doucheface. Like that. But without the apostrophe there. You get it? Did I have a good weekend? If you have to think about it, does that mean no? I mean, I guess it was okay. I babysat for my niece and nephew. We had a nice time. I got my medications from the Walgreens. But the problem is, I haven't been quite right since. I know it's hard to tell. I know it's very difficult to tell, unless you're extremely intuitive, but I haven't been quite right. Because when my medication stopped flowing in my blood, I started thinking about terrible things. Like, things related to money, things related to money, and things related to money, and how messy my house is, and dead people. U.S. official missiles fired at Somalia, target error. Oh, my God. The United States attacked a known terrorist target with precision missiles in the southern Somalia on Monday. A U.S. military official said the strike near Dubli, which is close to the Kenyan border was aimed at a facility where there were known terrorists affiliated with the East African Al-Qaeda operations, according to the official. The strike destroyed two houses. Well, that's lovely. The United States is still collecting post-strike information, is not yet able to confirm casualties. The strike was very deliberate, and said forces tried to use caution to avoid hitting civilians. Oh, that's great. All right, so let's see. This is the Hillary thing. Now, I wouldn't read this if it wasn't for the fact that I noticed the same thing myself when I was watching the 60 Minutes. Because I see a lot of banter back and forth between the Hillary and the Obama thing. And I'm at the point now where I think that Hillary has a better health plan, and I think that's extremely important. But I also don't believe that she'll actually do what she says she's going to do. Because I'm basing that on the fact that she has mostly the same cabinet that her husband has, so I don't really have any reason to believe she would do things differently. And plus her 180 on NAFTA, I find very suspicious. Her 180 on gay rights, I find very suspicious. But nevertheless, this is consistent. This is from Ben Smith at the Politico blog via the Huffington Post raw feed, which is a great way to get really nice opinion pieces and things like that, HuffingtonPost.com. A weird moment of TV partially captured partial birth abortion in the above clip. Clinton denies she thinks Obama's a Muslim, but her denial system seems something other than ironclad. And the interviewer goes back at her on the question. There are real danger zones for even hinting at this stuff, even leaving yourself open to uncharitable expressions, more with Obama than with any other politician. Here's the full exchange from 60 Minutes. Maybe I can just play the clip. Let's see. I'm not going to play that. Well, I can't find it now. How now? Let's see. Oh, God. Now I got to do this. Fucking shit. You know, I just hate when I'm on different computers and I got to do all this bullshit. Anyway. Let's see here. Oh, who cares? Who cares? You'll just yell at me for talking about politics anyway. Why should I even bother? Anyway, I'll just read it. You don't believe that Senator Obama is a Muslim? Croft asked Senator Clinton. Now, you got to keep in mind, they had just interviewed, or I don't remember who was first, but they also interviewed Obama. And Obama said, they interviewed some working people in Ohio. You know, this guy's crying because he lost his manufacturing job to China. His wife has MS. He has no insurance, et cetera, et cetera. And then he said, well, who are you going to vote for in the primary? He says, well, I like Obama, but I have reservations because I hear he is a Muslim. And the interviewer said, well, you know that's not true, don't you? And the guy's like, duh, I don't know. Because I guess there were pictures last week of him wearing a turban. So this is now. So that's sort of the backdrop for this story, that this 60 Minutes exchange. So Croft asking Senator Clinton, you don't believe Senator Obama's a Muslim? Croft asked Senator Clinton, of course not. I mean, you know, there is no basis for that. I take him on the basis of what he says, and you know, there isn't any reason to doubt that, she replied. You said you take Senator Obama at his word that he's not a Muslim. You don't believe that he's, Croft said. No, there's nothing to base that on as far as I know, she said. That's just scurrilous? It's just scurrilous? Croft inquired. Look, I've been the target of so many ridiculous rumors that I have a great deal of sympathy for anybody who gets, you know, smeared with the kind of rumors that go on all the time, Clinton said. But it just didn't seem like an ironclad denial that you would think. I mean, what I expected her to say is, of course he's not a Muslim. He goes to church. He's a Christian. He said it many times. It's ridiculous. It's just not. I kind of got the feeling that she didn't mind that kind of paranoia going on in the public. And that's just a feeling. I mean, I'm not saying by any means that she is responsible for it. I have no reason to believe she is. But somebody is trying to put that seed in the back of people's heads, and it's probably some supporter of hers or who knows what. But I don't see the all-out denial of it that I would have expected. Not that it matters. Because it doesn't. Nothing does. Just kill people. That's better. Am I still on? I don't even know. I guess I am. Period. All right. I thought I was still on. Oh, am I? Oh, I'm on. It's just so quiet here. I don't hear anything, you know? Maybe my mind is quiet. I have a quiet mind. Obama condemned Louis Farrakhan. Well, gee, that really took a lot of guts. I used to work at a place where his daughter worked, and nobody knew it was his daughter until she stopped working there. They kept it so secret. They used a fake name and everything. And nobody knew except for the human resources person. We want to hear your lips. All right, so, fuck it. There's nothing interesting to talk about. Max didn't send me too many links. Is there anything interesting besides that? Study shows need to ditch Katrina trailers. Well, I reported that on a news show that I stopped doing because nobody gave a shit. I mean, it got like 100,000 downloads, but evidently that's not worthy of a sponsorship. So it's like, why should I do it when, you know, the added effort that it takes to do that brings nothing back. Anyway, but I did talk about that over a year ago, so I'm glad that's finally making Reuters. This is a story that sounds interesting. You can't just blame one side for Gaza killings. When Hamas terrorists fired a rocket, this is from Mideast Youth. When Hamas terrorists fired a rocket into Israel last week and killed a little Israeli girl, I didn't hear any Palestinians screaming about the massacre of innocent civilians. Well, if it's one civilian, I don't know that it's a massacre, but point definitely taken. But when Israel responded in their brutal and excessive manner by killing as many innocent Palestinians as possible, suddenly the Palestinian outrage reared its ugly head. There's nothing inconsistent with human nature about that. All right. I had to throw my cunt out because I ghosted it and it ripped. Will you please do a Nick or I'm not talking to you? Do /Nick space and your name. It doesn't have to be a real name. Just something. Please. I just need something on that because I can't say 3386. Right. There's no violence justified. Right. I agree with Straight Chris on that. I don't believe that violence is ever justified. Ever. I think it's a sign of a small mind. Okay. Now, how Ralph Nader could get my vote, Middle Earth Journal by Ron Beasley. If the house that is controlled by the Democrats, hold down. I don't know if Chris just deserted me because he was sick of me talking or if he's planning on coming back because his Skype thingy is green. Oh, well. Anyway, I get critical account information from Wachovia Bank, even though I don't have an account with them. Let's see here. Violence is sometimes justified. I'm not talking to you until you put a fucking name next to your fucking, you know. If you are you're just proving my point by showing that you can't even change your name to a real name. The fact that people that use violence, it's a less intelligent way to do things. That it's a mental. What do you call that when you got to go around? So a detour. Yeah, you don't know how to change your name? Well, I just fucking told you like 10 times. So somebody else in the chat room, will you tell him? All right. Hello.
Hello. Sorry, I had to go fill my girlfriend's tire with air. That's what us heterosexuals do.
Well, we lesbians say we got to go see a woman about a dog.
So you type in /Nick, space, and then the name you want. And that becomes your name. Ustreamer 33386.
Okay, Chris, I was just about to read this thing. This is an article called How Ralph Nader Could Get My Vote from Middle Earth Journal by Ron Beasley. It's a blog I regularly read. I wouldn't read an article with this headline normally if it wasn't from somebody I read respectfully. Yeah. If the House that is controlled by the Democrats gives in to Bush on the FISA bill and grants immunity to the telecoms, I will be forced to agree with Ralph Nader that there is no difference between the parties. Now Congress has been willing to pass the Protect America Act without telecom immunity, but the Bush White House will not sign it without. Kevin Drum has observed that the telecoms themselves are not pushing for immunity, or to be exact, one of his readers, and the reader thinks he knows why. A couple of days ago, I got an email from the commenter blog proposing an explanation for this, blah, 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 blue on us. Okay. blah, blah, blah. It is my contention that people have to add value to their blog posts because they don't just want to copy and paste. So there's a lot of like blah, blah, blah. Have you ever noticed that? Anyway.
Yeah.
It is my contention that the telcos have just such indemnification agreements with the administration government that we do not know about because they are classified and hidden so that this is just conjecture. I have no interest in that. In the Washington Post today, Dan Egan and Ellen Nakashima talked to some of the, she's probably a spy for Japan, you know? Mm-hmm. I think we should be afraid of them now, because I saw Sands of Iwo Jima. It's important to be afraid of a lot of people, because you're a pussy. You're going to die at the end anyway. Some of the people behind the telco suits, and they don't seem to think the potential... Oh, this is boring. I'm sorry. I get his point, though. Okay. There were some more Abu Ghraib pictures that came out. Did you see those, Chris?
I saw one of them. They were giving kind of a thumbs up, the two guys, but I didn't see all of them. I was waiting for someone to set them to, like, a share song on YouTube, like a tribute video. I haven't seen them
Which
yet,
song? But... Half Breed? Half Bleed?
I was thinking one of her later, more techno-type dance room. It's like, I believe in love. Bow, 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 bow. I think if they flash them together and use some of those canned effects from Final Cut.
Actually, it hurts.
You're talking about that telecom immunity thing? I'm sure the Democrats will give the telecoms. I'm sure they'll eventually cave. I don't think there's any hope. I don't know. I listened to Ralph Nader on NPR last weekend giving a pretty extensive interview. And I don't want the Republicans to win, but I don't know. I don't know if it's going to make any difference in this state if I vote for him or not. I don't know. I don't think he was a spoiler. I understand he's being an asshole. I don't know why he doesn't run for Congress.
It doesn't matter now, but you're in Michigan. I keep thinking you're in Ohio. Look at how fat I am. In Michigan, I think everybody's either dead or unemployed in Michigan, so I don't think they count the votes.
Pretty much.
Sorry.
I don't know why he hasn't run for Congress or Senate. I don't know why he hasn't set up those mechanisms. I don't know.
But the thing is, his running mate is kind of a loser. He couldn't even get elected mayor of San Francisco.
Yeah, Gonzalez. Yeah, I don't know why.
Would you vote for him? Well, you don't know at this point.
For Nader?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of tempted to because I don't buy Obama stuff. I don't buy Clinton stuff. I don't know. I don't want them. I don't want McCain appointing Supreme Court justices.
Right.
So, other than that, I don't think they're going to get out of Iraq. I don't think they're going to do anything about trade policy that's going to actually do anything meaningful in this country. I mean, they're talking about it now. Have you noticed that Hillary and Obama suddenly have, in what they talk about, it suddenly drifted a little bit leftward out of nowhere? Now Hillary's voting record doesn't seem to indicate that in her actions. But suddenly now there's a lot of leftist rhetoric in what they're saying.
I think, honestly, the only issue I really give a shit about is health care. I don't think... I mean, that's not true, but... I mean, I think jobs are important. I think all that trade stuff is really important, too, and it's very important to me. But did you watch the 60 Minutes yesterday?
No, I did not.
Well, in addition to having the usual, the obligatory... Well, there's very interesting things that happen. Generally, the reporting on 60 Minutes is pretty good with a lot of, you know, buffoonery mixed in. But generally, the reporting is pretty good, and they do break a lot of good stories, like that thing with, I don't know if they broke the story, but it was the guy that, the Alabama governor who's in jail now.
Siegelman.
Was it Alabama? Yeah.
Alabama.
Okay, but there's that story, which then Rove managed to get blocked out in half of the state of Alabama. But, you know, they did a couple stories that were reasonable. You know, their interviews with candidates tend to be pretty half-assed. But they did a really interesting piece about this guy, and he used to be on Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom with not Martin Balsam. What's that guy's name? Marlon Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying not to clear my throat because then I'm going to have Andy Vera telling me to go drink something cold. There's this guy basically owns a plane that's a World War II vintage plane, and he goes around on a shoestring budget and he delivers health care to third world countries in Africa, in South America. He started doing this in Somalia in the 90s. Well, earlier this winter he went to Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
And he set up camp. to deliver health care on a budget of very little, and he ended up serving health care for 100,000 people, or maybe it was just 1,000 people. They had to give out numbers. They had people camped out all night with numbers in line, you know, camping out in air, you know, in freezing cold cars because they had no health care. They were people that had, you know, had tumors removed before but never went to the doctor for follow-up because they had to choose between, you know, health care and their children's food, that kind of thing. Yeah. And they served, you know, either 1,000 or it was a huge number of people, but they couldn't serve about 400 people. And it was just, I mean, it's like, and this is in Tennessee, which is a state, like, if you talk to those people, I bet you most of them voted for Bush.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, because one lady, it was about 1,000. Okay, thank you. It was 1,000 people that got served and 400 got turned away. But, you know, and they had one lady and she was crying and, you know, she was blind in one eye and she had gotten there too late until the 60 Minutes people came up to her and then, you know, she got served. But she's like, the Lord will help. The Lord will help. God will do, you know, God will take care of me. And it was sad because she just, I mean, she was that desperate and crying from one eye fever. That's not very nice.
Was Andy among the 400 turned away?
No.
Okay.
He didn't bother to show up.
That's kind of a long walk.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was pathetic. But then the other thing, which was a very good piece, but on the other hand, they had, and they always, not always, but a lot of times they have these weird out of left field propaganda pieces, and they had one yesterday, and it was about this ray gun. It was a piece about a ray gun that the Air Force is making. They've gotten very little support for, but it's this giant ray gun that sits on top of a tank and shoots pain. It basically,
it's like heat. It's like a microwave kind of thing, isn't it?
Right. It shoots like invisible pain.
Yeah.
So that when it touches you, it gives you instantaneous pain, like what boiling water is being poured on you. And then when you get out of range, the pain is gone. And
right.
The way they talk about it, you know, in the interview, it's the Air Force is the one that's sponsoring it and all this. They interview the head of the Air Force and all this, or deputy, whatever. And they're like, oh, this is great. You know, as long as it's done right, there'll be no harm done to the person. And, you know, and right. And this is the same stuff they said about the nuclear shit in Hiroshima.
Yeah.
Yeah, or before Hiroshima. Like, oh, it's not going to cause any damage, you know. And at first they even denied all that fallout. And this is like the same thing, and it's a microwave. It's a microwave. I mean, microwaves cause problems. I think any fucking moron does that. But what's interesting, and then I'll finish and you can talk, but what was really interesting is at the very end of 60 Minutes, guess who had a commercial on? Guess who was a sponsor of the 60 Minutes program?
The Air Force, Boeing, General Dynamics?
The Air Force.
Yeah.
The Air Force had an ad at the end of the show.
Of course, yeah.
Fucking pathetic. And the interviewer was somebody I'd never seen before in my life. It was like an infomercial, you know? It was like, here's, if you put this on, we won't harass you for that Siegelman piece.
Now, that weapon is being designed primarily to use against the domestic population here, to use against protesters, to use against anyone who would come up against them. They'll say they'll use it in Iraq and they'll use it elsewhere.
What was really interesting is that in the video they showed, and it was like really funny because you'd think they would want to hide that, but in the video they showed training videos, like, you know, they wanted to show how great this thing works, so they showed people being zapped, and they had like, but it was a fake protest, and they showed people with these, holding up these signs, I swear to God, that said, world peace, peace now, and they zapped them in the show on 60 Minutes. This is what the Air Force, you know, gave them as like a demo tape.
Right. Why not? Why not just be open with it? You know, I've been reading recently about the history of the SDS, the Students for Democratic Society, and the endless amount of protests that they participated in, and were just right off the bat, the police, of course, just beat the shit out of them. That was their goal, was to go and just beat the hell out of them. To this day, they do the same thing. I don't know. I understand that a piece like that in 60 Minutes is directed at the people at the top. It's directed at the people making and buying these weapons, and they think this is a good thing. But I guess it never occurs to anyone what anyone like us at our level would think of something like that. I don't know why I'm supposed to get enthused about some new weapon. I know a lot of Americans, regardless
because
of
economic... Because it saves lives. Weapons save lives.
Yeah.
They don't hurt people. And they said the reason it hasn't gotten approved is the Air Force lady said, well, it's got political problems. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you know, all this Abu Ghraib business and people are afraid of all this torture, you know, and of course something like this technically could be used as torture, but people would never do that. And then but what she said is, this is their logic, and this was, I thought, particularly frightening. They said, well, what happens is, you, if this thing zaps you, you have extreme pain and you stop what you're doing, but it's not unfathomable to keep, if you're really motivated, you can still keep doing what you're doing. In other words, if you're running towards a building with a bomb and this thing zaps you, it'll be like, ouch. But if you really want to do it, you can keep running, right? Now, her logic, and this is a really tremendous, bizarre leap of faith that's terrifying to me. Her logic, what she said is, look, this thing is going to stop the people who aren't serious, but anybody who keeps running after this thing zaps them is for sure a terrorist, so we can kill them.
Then we can kill them. Then we can use the real guns on them.
Exactly.
I don't know. I like that it's designed for peaceful purposes. I read last night in Harper's a large article about the amount of money being spent by lobbyists on Congress members and how Congress members use their political leadership committee funds to basically just fund a very lavish lifestyle, against the new reforms, against lobbyists giving politicians money and so forth. And there was a Republican, I think he was from Mississippi, or no, I think he was from Louisiana. He set up a committee. His leadership committee was the Committee for the Preservation of Capitalism, and he put his whole family on it, running it, and budgeted it at like $600,000. I don't know what hope there is. I guess the only thing, like this doctor going to Tennessee, is to just, okay, Washington, the ruling elite, has no use for anyone at our level, so we don't have any use for them. Just set up something and do it on our own. We have to come up with a way to, there has to be some way to fund health insurance and health care for people in this country outside of the existing system. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I teach at a school in deep downtown poverty Detroit, and I see firsthand and hear firsthand.
What do you
stories
teach?
Of, I'm sorry?
What do you teach?
I teach video and animation to kids in Mexican Town. The best, I'd say 80% of them were children that were born in Mexico, and their parents have immigrated up here.
Is it a public
and
school?
Actually, I don't know why the hell they came up here, because there's nothing here. Anyway, they're here, and the level of poverty and disconnect from this larger sort of bullshit media world is truly astonishing. The people that you hear in 60 Minutes, and largely the people that you hear online talking about this stuff, are completely disconnected from any kind of reality these kids have. A lot of these kids have said that they refuse to say the Pledge of Allegiance in the morning to the U.S. flag, because they don't, even though if some of them were born here, they don't consider themselves U.S. citizens. And why should they?
Why should
really,
they? Exactly.
Why should they?
They're not.
Go ahead.
I mean, if they're treated as second-class citizens, and they're not treated as citizens, then you've got, every time you turn on the TV, Lou Dobbs is telling them to get the fuck out, even though they do all the grunt work. Why would
right.
they say that? You're going to pledge allegiance to what? To that? To Lou Dobbs?
Yeah.
To George Bush? I mean, if these are kids, that's what they know of America. All they know is some douchebag that runs this fucking country who is retarded.
What's really interesting is in a lot of their classes, like in history and social studies, these are 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. They're being taught directly about wars, both that America has launched, that America is currently engaged in, wars that happen in their country. People come in from various parts of the world that have had direct experience with these wars, and they talk, and they're writing peace songs in some of the classes. They're doing things that, when I was a student here in the suburbs, that kind of thing was never discussed. Those topics were, you know, if anything, they were like History Channel level, just like a superficial addressing. So they're really getting, in many ways, a much more robust education as to how this system actually works. And it's just amazing to me that, you know, I'm within 15 minute drive of this place, and the people where I am, the students here, they don't know, you know, they're not taught any of this. They're literally taught this, you know, Disneyland bullshit version of American history, American politics. And so I don't know if you're going to get, I don't know what to do other than media and education to get people to say, to switch from like that woman in Tennessee who was saying, well, God will save me. God will say, no, God's not going to save you, honey. We need to work together and actually do something here. And,
well, you see, I think this is why Obama is really getting such a huge phenomenon where he's, you know, all of a sudden he's getting tons of votes. I think this is why, because the only thing that's going to change this is, and I'm not saying Obama would do anything. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the type of reaction that we're getting to Obama, that's the type of thing that will change the system. Because the fact is that, at least according to Democracy Now!, most Americans want a single-payer healthcare system.
Yeah.
Yet if you talk to Obama or Clinton, they'll both say, well, that's not going to happen. It's like dismissed immediately before any thought is even given to it.
It's because they're funding, you know where the funding comes from. It comes from the insurance companies. It comes. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to happen in my lifetime. I don't know if it's going to happen, you know, in the next 100 years. I think it's going to get to a point in this country where the people at the top, like the health insurance executives who get paid literally $1 billion a year, where there's going to become such a divide between them and everyone else that there's going to be violence in this country. There's going to be some sort of attempted revolution, I would think, at some point. People are just going to be pushed far enough that it's really going to get ugly. And I think that the weapons like this microwave ray and other things like this. Your vagina and its stench and its drippage. The rich understand. They understand what's coming, and so they're preparing to keep people down. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
Oh, my God, another nameless Ustreamer. You know what happened? Ever since I did that vagina, penis vagina thing with the dildo on the vagina, my numbers have been no higher than the 20s on the live show. And I'm pretty sure it's because Ustream took me off their rotation. I don't know if there's anybody out there who can do something about that. But it'd be nice to be, because what they do is they rotate people and some people get on their front page and then they instantly get a lot of numbers. That's what was happening before.
Yeah.
So they clearly take me off a rotation. If somebody would handle that, or at least try to, I'd appreciate it. And I can, if it means not showing, well, I mean, I already had to throw out the vagina because I goatseed it and it ripped. You know, if all it takes is me not showing plastic genitals, I'll do that. So if somebody could get that there, I don't know who the fuck. I can barely get the goddamn thing to work.
It's just one more embarrassing thing about this online media. Just there's really no shame that a lot of these people have about being completely bland, completely censorious, completely soulless, and as if it's a badge of honor. You know, I don't get it.
Well, you know, I use Miro, and I want to like Miro, even though it has a lot of dumb things about it that could be fixed if somebody like me didn't hate them and would give them, you know, feedback and say, hey, could, you know, this would be a good thing. But I won't. You know why? Because I look at, when I turn Miro on, I see Callie Lewis on the front page. Yesterday when I looked at Miro, and the last time I looked, which was probably 2 weeks ago, on the front page with that Geek TV or whatever it is, you know, and like, okay, so put her on, but put other people on too, you know? And the thing is, like, I work really hard at this crap. I've probably done more podcasts than anyone, true podcasts. My numbers are even higher than Douchebag now. I mean, it's not numbers in terms of audience. I don't see his audience numbers, but in terms of the number of the sheer volume of shows, mine are much higher, even without the videos. But anyway, like, I think, like, it would be really nice if somebody, and there is one, what's the name of the one that Peter Van Dyke started? Meatfeedia.
Yeah, but he sold that.
Yeah, he sold that, but they used to promote me a lot. I don't know if they do anymore.
It's the promotion, the attitude. I guess really, ultimately, you can't separate this from the existing populace in America. And the populace of America, by and large, is creatively dead. Is dead. Their soul is dead on the inside. So yes, someone in the chat room said soulless. Yeah, I would say that the vast majority of, you know, the so-called creative content being done in all mediums, especially this web medium, is soulless, is empty, is shallow, is timid, and people are really satisfied with that. They're really kind of happy to have that. And
somebody I used to work with in the podcasting realm at the very beginning, who shall remain nameless, who I've had difficulty with. I wouldn't say this person's an enemy because I've tried to be friends with him, but you know, I just get nothing back except hate. And, you know, and I don't ever, my idea, for me, like a resentment is somebody you see and you feel like you have to avoid them, and this is not in that category. Anyway, because that makes me feel, like, uncomfortable in my own, you know, city. But regardless, I was at dinner with some friends on Friday night, and I look at the, you know, and some queen grabbed all the gay papers. There's like a zillion of them. On the back of every gay paper was the same ad. And it was basically for this particular podcast, who this is, I'm bringing this up because you said soulless, who are going to be doing live podcasts from the gay bathhouse.
Okay, sexy boy, yes, it is soulless. It's bland. It's plastic. It comes off as artificial. It comes off as the people who are creating it are putting no truth. They're putting nothing real into it. They're putting no passion into it. They're doing the carbon cheap seventh, eighth generation copy of shit that they saw elsewhere. Yes, it is soulless. It's not. It doesn't lack reasoning. It says the material that's being produced, the shows by and large are being produced, have no connection to any real sort of human experience. Ultimately, they're an insult to the intelligence of the producers and the audience. They're a denial of real life, the denial of real experience. Real experiences. It's all this kind of forced politeness. Forced, we don't want to say these things. We don't want to have allow Madge to show a rubber vagina and a rubber penis because, that strays outside of acceptable boundaries. That challenges people. That makes people a little bit uncomfortable, and we certainly wouldn't want that. We certainly want to look professional. There's another word, professional, that I really enjoy. Because the whole of the American economic system is completely and utterly unprofessional. That goes for the media. It's shallow. It's trite. It tells you nothing about life. It tells you nothing about actual experience. It just deadens the mind, deadens the soul, soulless.
Andy Vera, can there be originality without vulgarity? No. There's certainly everything original is vulgar. Sorry. But good question. This story gets worse, Chris. Much worse.
Yeah. Anyway, you were talking about the weapons and
No, I was talking about this horrible bathhouse podcast.
Your bathhouse.
I haven't gotten to the bad part yet. That was the good part. The bad part is, as usual, my amnesia. I was going to the spin class where my friend Terry Cosgrove teaches. You know, the pro-choice person. So I went there, and for some reason, because I think I have a little Alzheimer's that's early. I went to the wrong locker room. I went to the men's locker room by mistake.
That's a common mistake.
Changing. And I'm in a towel, my breastises all over the place. And who do I see but that same podcaster in question while I'm standing there in my chochita?
Did you at least get a hug?
God can be cruel, very cruel.
Now, let me say something about Sexy Boy. You say interesting rhetoric. Here, I'll give you an example of soulless Sexy Boy. That 60 Minutes report that Madge was just talking about, the microwave weapon that was basically like a showroom brochure, some new product introduction propaganda. Did it at all talk about the implications of that, about they actually questioned the people as to who was making this, where they're going to use it. Did it even bring up to the reporters, say, hey, how come your promotional video has someone holding a peace sign? Did it ever bring up those questions? No, it didn't. It was flat. It was one-dimensional, from what Madge tells me. I haven't seen it, but I'm going to go off of her assessment of this.
No, that's right.
What it said was, this is a great piece of machinery. This is a wonderful new military weapon, and we shouldn't question the people who make it, who say it's being used for defense. No, okay? It's one-dimensional. Right. It's flat.
Wait a second. What are you talking about? You know, I don't begrudge these people for doing their podcast in the steam room. And I'm just telling you I'm just telling you the story of what happened because it's fucking ridiculous. It's like when it starts raining and then you get a car that splashes you in the face with mud. And then a bird shits on your head. That's what it was like this weekend. So really the answer to the question, how was your weekend, Madge, is great.
I would suggest that many of you who have doubts about this, go back into Madge's archives and take a listen and watch her shows that concerned Gussie's final days And the recent video, maybe about a month ago, maybe a couple weeks ago, she posted where she held up the death certificate and it was listing she was listed as friend. That's something substantial. That has a lot of soul. Now, it doesn't have a lot of polish. It doesn't have a lot of high production value or tits or a shiny girl smiling with new cell phones, but it has substance. Okay, that's the difference.
And the point of that is that the stuff like that, like what that stuff that I did, it gets shunned, or I will, and or people will like it, but they keep their excitement to themselves. And I can understand that in some regards, it's a private, you know, it's a very private emotional thing. But then, you know, like people, I mean, this is so blaringly obvious. How on earth could I possibly have to explain this? To me, that's my opinion. Like, if you turn on any of these major websites or iTunes or anything, on the front page, it's all just crap. Or it's mainstream, which you know is completely filtered. And you know it's anything that says NPR, ABC, or and all those big names, it's all going to be filtered. You know it's going to pass the filter test. But, you know, whatever. You know, I just think I have definitely earned my stripes, okay? Yet, why the fuck do the douchebags that make crap and the douchebags that make money off people like me not have to worry about money and can fly first class when I'm the one doing all the work because I like doing the work. I like creating content, and that's what I do. And I work very hard at it, and I create what I think is very good content. And for me, I feel that I'm not giving up my integrity by making this content. You know, people can like it or not like it, but this is my thing, and I think it's honest. I think I've proven that it's popular because Insane Films gets in some months it gets a million downloads, even more in a month. One month it even got 2 million downloads. And this is completely without any promotion whatsoever. Even from my own company. So, you know, so the fact that they won't, you know, and this is all without the fact that something like that can be this popular without even in the tiniest ounce of promotion from anyone. And it still doesn't get on any of these major websites. It's just like, it makes me just throw my hands up in the air, honestly.
This kind of thing is ultimately connected back to that microwave weapon and its use of suppressing people who are angry with the current system. Now, look, there's plenty of times in everybody's life when you enjoy watching or reading or listening to music that's more or less like cotton candy. That's kind of a distraction. Everybody, right. You need a certain amount of that in your life. That's fine.
Right.
What we're talking about is the promotion of that to the exclusion of all else. It's that selective choosing. It's that selective presentation and selective emphasis. That's right. The problem. Because people are constantly fed this endless stream of distraction, of fluff, of nothingness. And they don't promote things that would actually make people a little bit uncomfortable, might make people think, might people step back and reconsider things. Now, why do they do that? Well, if you keep people distracted, keep people numb, that ensures that the people who are in power, the giant entities that are in power, maintain their power. And same thing. So when you have people out in the street, when you have people protesting, well, we've got this new microwave weapon. We're going to spray you with that, and then you'll go home. Then you'll die. Then you'll shut up. You understand? They don't want material of any substance that questions what they do to exist in any sort of large spectrum. And what's frustrating is so many of these people online, so many sources online, financially, you don't have to answer, really, to these large media organizations. You don't have to adopt the attitudes. You don't have to adopt the outlook. You don't have to adopt the behavior. And yet people did it on their own. People who were broke and powerless to begin with began imitating and mimicking the powerful that keep them slaves. Why? That's the issue.
Okay. Now this is something that just proves that a segment of this audience right now is not getting it at all. Oblivion says at 12:14, I'm curious what human dog's blood pressure is. He always sounds wound up. Oblivion, sexy boy, lol. Oblivion, I'm somewhat serious. Do you think passionate, not wound up? I mean,
yes,
don't you think that's maybe a little bit patronizing? Like, if you're going to minimize somebody who's actually passionate about something they're talking about and it's not a fucking, you know, device, you're going to minimize that as just passionate, or isn't that cute? He's destroying his blood vessels. I mean, I think that's just, I don't know what the word is. I think that's a bit insulting.
Now, I'd like to talk about purchasing gold, expanding your gold portfolio.
Max is back. Hi, Max. That's Chris Weigel.
All right. I don't know. That's where I'm at right now with it. Make any kind of assessment you want with it. Yes, I do feel very passionate about it, and so should all of you. But it's up to you to make that decision.
Max, I want to know something. I thought I asked you this before, but do you personally use goldmoney.com? Do you personally use it? I it looks good. I've looked at their website, but I just need, you do personally. And you have 100% faith in the fact that when you put money there, it's going to stay there. I'm looking for another yes. Okay, thank you. All right. Now, Chris.
Yeah.
I want to go meta for a little bit. The tape's over.
Okay.
I want to go meta. What are we doing with this public access? Do I need to, should I still keep recording? I don't even know. Should I still keep doing videos or should I go back to audio? What's going on?
I like that you're doing the stream. You don't have to record any more shows right now. I'm in the process of putting all the shows together, and I'm going to be mailing you a box as soon as I get the first 20 done. I've got to email the station in Chicago again to get them to resend the paperwork to your address because I didn't give them the correct address. But you can just lay off recording the shows right now. But I personally like watching you do the shows live at regular time every day, but that's up to you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Or I can just record it and just compress it for in case something really good, God forbid, comes on, you know?
Yeah.
Well, no, I can record it on Ustream, actually.
Yeah. That's what I have. That's what's going on with it.
So do you think they're going to play this stuff?
Yeah, I think so. The only thing they pretty much are stringent about that I've found is they don't allow any kind of, anything that could be interpreted as a commercial message. And you don't really do much of that anytime. I mean, there's a very few instances I've, pick out the GoDaddy stuff. I know. But
GoDaddy, 10% off. Madge 1, Madge 2, Madge 3. Do this. Every time you do that, I get two fucking dollars. Mm-hmm. So do that fucking shit. I need every penny I can get. Oh, also, I put a not on this. I meant to put it here, but on this website on the Yeast Radio Live. If you go to the actual, if you click on the next to the TV button on Yeast Radio, you go to the show's webpage on Ustream, and you can go to the Yeast Radio store. And remember, I am now a religious. I am a preacher. I'm a Torah. I don't know what you call me. I'm like Madonna. I'm a goddess. And I have a religion. It's called Madge's Religion. And I am selling stuff. I have a PayPal store. It's called the Yeast Radio Store, and I'm selling two items right now. I'm selling Absolution for those of you who voted for George W. Bush. Now, I have one for $500, which is if you voted for Bush in 2000, but you saw that he was a moron and you stopped being greedy and voted for someone else in 2004, you only need to be absolved from eternal damnation for 1 year. So that's $500. And what that buys you is, for only $500, it buys you protection from eternal damnation, hellfire, waterboarding, hoods with finger zapping. Everything they did at Abu Ghraib and more is going to be done to you in hell for voting for George Bush in either year. So absolution, and it doesn't get any worse than that. So it's not like if you voted 1 year versus 2 years, you're going to get a worse eternal damnation in hell. It's the same. So, but I'm charging more, okay? Because for me, it's worth more to me as a lesbian. So in 2004, if you voted for him along with 2000, then you have to pay $1,000 for full absolution. And it says sold out on the Yeast Radio store. That's not true. It's not sold out. If you have any problems with the store, just let me know. And I'm going to give you, if you do either one of these, I don't use holy water because I'm a lesbian. I'm my own goddess religion. It's pagan. But I do use a neti pot every morning. So I'll give you some neti pot water in a little bottle, and you can use that to pray. Okay? So that's pretty cheap, I think. Don't you think that's a pretty good deal, Chris? Yes, you can pay in gold. One gold piece for full absolution, and 1/2 ounce of gold for just the 1 year. Mm-hmm.
Now, if some really devoted followers showed up at your place, would you lay hands on their panis and do a healing?
No.
Okay. You just place the iPod on the affected part of the body.
If I were to sell myself that way, I would feel cheap.
Right, of course.
You know, I'm just, you know, that's a, you know, there's no reason for that. That's like a weird perversion thing. I'm just selling Absolution. Now, the other thing is, on my regular East Radio website, there's a donate button. You can press that and donate. Some people have donated, and I appreciate that very much. And I appreciate it if more of you donate money. I guess I don't need those tapes anymore then. Do I need more tapes, Chris? Or do you have all the tapes you need?
I would get 5 more, but that's it. Just one more of those 5 packs.
For you?
Yeah. For extra copies, yeah.
Okay, so maybe if somebody can send me like one more package of tapes. And you know what, don't I'm going to take the tapes off the wish list. Just send me money and go fuck yourself. What else? What else do I need to talk about in that regard? Money, absolution. Is there anything else I need to absolve people of? Paying for the war, but I do that too, so I can't really absolve myself for something that I do too. But I don't know. How am I going to absolve myself? Oh, I don't believe in hell because I'm Jewish. Never mind.
That ain't for sale. She won't lay hands on my panis because I've had yeast. No, she would lay hands on your panis specifically because you've had yeast.
Now, you're obviously not paying it. Is that Andy again?
That's Carino.
Oh, he has yeast, yes. This is true, actually. Michael Carino has a small penis and has had a yeast infection, penile. I know this for a fact. We discussed.
Oh, he was
it.
On the show, right?
He's been on the show, and I've been on his program. What are the names of your programs, Carino, over there? What are your show's names? MaleYeastInfection.com. Max, how's Stacy doing? Max? Oblivion, are you really going to go to buy Polish sausage for Casimir Pulaski Day? God, we have really good Polish sausage here. Everybody's a fan here. Digital Media Cast Experiments. Lips aren't for sale. I only have one pair of lips. No, there's no hell for the Jews. That's why we get to kill lots of people in Gaza. All right.
Okay, I'm going to go.
All right, thanks, Chris. Now I'm just going to put some stuff together. I appreciate your being on here today because it sucked. I mean, before you came on, not because of that.
Bye.
All right, so...
The sexual attraction is normal, but you have to control
it. Hang on, I'm not done yet. Don't act like I'm dead yet.
Please be very careful and just blot that area. Don't rub or irritate it. Believe me that that's perfectly normal.
I believe you, Dr. Leswood. I believe you that it's perfectly normal.
Those adults who are, he is not able to produce
please
sperm cells.
Please have intercourse more
this
frequently
too
so
is
you can
perfectly
normal. And this is what you can
please
expect.
Remove
this
it
usually
with a piece
takes
of
place when you
have
an surgical
organ.
Lubricating
if you're
jelly.
You
ejaculate for a minute.
Or during sexual excitement, those adults who are blocked
please
in
remove
this phase
it with a piece
from
of
developing
some
normally
surgical lubricating
are called
jelly.
Homosexual.
Please.
Treat them
it's normal
kindly.
For her to have
but
a
for
vagina,
please have
during
sexual
more
excitement,
so you can learn
this
to relax.
Too.
Some men worry
please
when they
have,
notice
please,
that the
please,
erect
please,
penis
please,
has
please
a-
be.
Oh, somebody else is calling. Oh, Max is calling. Yeah. Hello, Weinstein.
Oh, Scott.
You got
Scott.
Weinstein. Hi, Max.
Hey, how are you?
You got Weinstein on the line. What's up? You want to trade? Want to do some trading?
Yeah, let's trade.
Okay, go fish.
6 of diamonds.
Go fish.
Seven dwarfs on the front lot of a suburbanite in New Rochelle, New York.
Can we talk about the housing bubble? I've had a lot of people ask me because people are finally starting to listen to me because I give people your advice, and they have been for some time. Now that they... Will you shut up, Vera? God damn it. She's a fucking chorus. Jesus Christ. She can't stop saying buy gold. Gold. She's calling you Goldfinger.
Yeah.
Vera, can you go watch The View again? Listen, so what's with the housing bubble? So tell me what's going on with the housing situation in the U.S. as far as what's going on with it?
Well, yeah, housing is only down nationwide, maybe 15 to 20%. It's got another 30 or 40 or 50% to go.
And then, what will happen next after that? So it drops, and then what? What? I can't hear you. What did you say? What happened? Or are you just giving me silence as the answer?
No, I'm not sure I am. I can't really hear that well. So what happened after that, you're saying?
Yes.
Well, it's a depression. It's an inflationary depression.
But will the prices ever come back up of the houses?
It's going to take a long, long time, probably 10 years.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah, it'll take 10 years to sort out the mess. There's going to be it's going to take a long time to sort out the mess.
That's good. What is
but you know these markets tend to go in 20-year cycles. So you know the bull market in stocks that started in 1982, it lasted until I'd say last year. So that was a good 20-year plus bull market, and now that's all. So this particular phase now is going to last good 10 to 15 years at least of a complete different type of market. Most people living today, most people active today, have experienced a really severe down market. So this will be a new thing.
Another question I wanted to ask you is, because I was wondering last night, because I couldn't masturbate because I kept thinking about this. But can you give us an idea? I know you obviously wouldn't want to be too specific, but can you give us an idea how your portfolio is diversified personally?
It's not diversified at all. It's mostly gold, silver, and European and Asian currencies. There's just no U.S. dollars. No U.S. stocks, nothing in the U.S. I haven't had anything in the U.S. for 3 years.
Do you have any foreign stocks?
I have foreign currencies.
So you're mostly precious metals and foreign currencies.
Yeah, that's the easiest thing.
And you're perfectly confident storing your money at goldmoney.com?
Yeah, goldmoney.com is great. And then when gold gets through $1,200 or $1,300 an ounce, you're going to start to see the gold mining stocks are going to start to outperform gold bullion. So that's something for people to look forward to that. Right now, the gold mining stocks have lagged behind the gold bullion.
Well, there was a story on that in IHT, though, that they said that the mining is much more risky because it's like 1 in 100 mines produces something, and it's extremely expensive. And
that's right. Once the price gets to 30%, then stock big
girdle
names like Newmont Mining and American Marigold are two of the biggest gold mining stocks in the world. And once their margins start to look very, very attractive, and they will start to outperform the actual metal itself. But that'll happen at some point this year, and they'll see a huge swing of momentum out of the metal and into the miners themselves.
So does that mean the gold prices will go down, or it's just that they'll still keep going up, but the gold stocks will just outperform the metal prices?
Yeah, they'll both go up, but you'll see at some point the miners will go up faster than the bullion itself. We haven't gotten there yet.
Are you concerned, though, and this is what, because I'm very ignorant when it comes to these foreign banks, but, you know, how do you know that that somebody in the American government might say, hey, Max Kaiser, he's on Al Jazeera, and we've decided they're a terrorist organization, so let's freeze his assets. Would you not be able to get your access to your goldmoney.com money then?
Well, you know, I'm not just in gold.com. I mean, I have goldmoney.com, but I have a couple different strategies I'm pursuing. but I think that my media profile may work to my advantage.
Uh-huh. But it is possible, though, that even in goldmoney.com, if some big, creepy, big brotherish organization wanted to freeze your assets, they could. Even in Switzerland?
Well, it's something that anybody in the United States should consider, because the United States has imposed capital controls in the past. They've limited the amount of money that can come in and out of the country. They've seized gold back in the 1930s. So I would say you bring up a good point, and there are lots of information out there how people can strategically protect themselves from the government getting more invasive on this. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of information out there, and there's a number of different strategies. Obviously, one of the best strategies that you can possibly have is to have a second passport, a non-U.S. passport.
Yeah. You were on a few days ago on East Radio 768. I was talking about how I actually, as of yesterday, I finished paying off my credit card debt. Now, Ricardo wrote on that show in the comments, he wrote, if, as Max says, the dollar is going to zero, the last thing you should have done is pay off your dollar-denominated debt. That's almost as good advice as recommended buying U.S. government T-bills when they'll soon be worthless. He makes no sense at all. What do you say to Ricardo?
Well, if you want to carry a lot of debt on the basis that you're going to not have to pay back your debt because the dollar is going to zero, you're free to take that approach. But in the meantime, if you want to maintain your purchasing power, you would want to be completely outside the dollar, because the dollar is losing all of its purchasing power. Right. And if you feel comfortable gaming the system and saying, well, you know, the banks are going out of business and I have a $200,000 debt, and they'll never be able to collect it because the dollar has gone down to zero. I mean, I'd rather just be in different foreign currencies and preserve my purchasing power.
Can you charge gold?
Now, my understanding is that, technically, the last I checked, it depends. Like, goldmoney.com is going to introduce actually a credit card later this year.
Mm-hmm.
Which will be based on, it's like having a gold money market account. So every time you add or subtract to the account, it'll be buying and selling gold. So it'll be like a gold money market account. By the way, the gold at Gold Money is held in either Switzerland or at Lloyd's of London in the UK. So it's outside of the United States.
At the Channel Islands, I think it said. Okay.
It's in the... go ahead.
I wish Miserly was there, because every time I think to contact her, I forget, or him. The second passport is a good idea, but how do you do that?
It depends. It depends on what your individual situation is. For example, a friend of mine has relatives that are Ecuadorian, so he just got an Ecuadorian passport. So now he's doing all of his banking via Ecuador. Mm-hmm. So individuals have different situations that they should explore. You used to be able, if you were have Canadian, if you had Irish parents or grandparents, it was you used to be able to get an Irish passport pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there are different ways to go about doing that. There are different countries where things, for example, Austria is a country that you can get a second passport. Belgium is a country that is a possible contender to get a second passport.
If you're related to.
If you have economic wherewithal, you can set yourself up with a second passport.
Okay. What else? Oh, yeah. So I was having dinner lunch with somebody the other day. He said gold is basically the new world currency. Or maybe it already is. But I guess it really always was, right? But it sounds like if gold money is any indication of the future, I mean, it's like that really is a new currency. Like trading through gold in with It's kind of like going back to a currency that's backed with a gold standard, isn't it? Isn't that basically what that is? If you're
during since 1971, the U.S. went off the gold standard, and you had fiat currencies or currencies that were not backed by gold became the global currency system, and it's really backed by oil more than anything else. So you had petrodollars were really the world currency. Because the U.S. back in 1971 was on the verge of defaulting on their loans. This is why they closed the gold window. They didn't want to pay France the hundreds of, or whatever the figure was, hundreds of millions or billions in what they owed them on the in the gold exchange. So they simply backed out of the gold exchange rate mechanism. And they got very friendly with the Arab states, and this is what started really America's relationship with the Arab oil producers, was the beginning of this petrodollar era, which took us all the way to the last year or so. But now that relationship is breaking down. So now gold is being looked at again as really the fourth world currency. There's the yen, there's the dollar, there's the euro. And then now gold is becoming really the fourth world, the world's currency. And it's rising in importance. And this is why the case for gold is becoming more interesting, because there's a lot of demand still. And even though the price has tripled or quadrupled from wherever you may have started looking at it, it's still very cheap relative to the inflation that's happened in the last 25 years.
And mainly it's I see it as peace of mind. And I think you can't put a price on peace of mind. It's just like the guy in 60 Minutes was saying yesterday about the insurance. Like, we have no one of the reasons I think people kill them, go around shooting people in malls in this country is because we have this underlying fear of basically dying a miserable death alone with no money in basically, some county hospital basement, because nobody has healthcare security here. And I think that's one form of peace of mind that insurance gives you. I think by the same token, gold gives you an economic peace of mind that's extremely valuable, besides the value of it itself.
So I've heard, on your show, you talk a lot about the healthcare issue and the fake debate about whether politically it's qualified as socialism or not. And that's a very interesting debate, and it comes up a lot. And I'm not sure.
Why does it even matter, though, if it's socialism?
How's that?
Why does it matter if it's socialism? What do you call it?
Well, that's because that's how the pharmaceutical companies have avoided having to be part of an equitable health system in the United States, is that they've been able to brand the idea of an equitable health system as politically dangerous, and this is why you don't have an equitable health system in the United States, because the pharmaceutical companies have been able to position the idea of equitable health care as a dangerous, radical political agenda,
successful. But what is so? I mean, what would be? Why would it not work, for example, what Hillary Clinton is proposing? And I realize that single-payer system is obviously ideal, but let's say Hillary is telling the truth and that she wants to put in the system where insurance is mandatory and it takes away – and at the same time would take away the fact that people couldn't get insured from pre-existing conditions. Wouldn't the insurance companies be okay with that, because that would basically be making the risk pool so huge – that they could, have an actuary make sure that they still make money. In other words, they would still make money, and they would, because you would have economies of scale and you'd be insuring 50 million more people. I mean, why would that not work? It sounds like, I think it's an inefficient system. I think we'd still be paying a lot more in healthcare than other countries, but why would that not work?
Well, once you start peeling away the layers of the onion on America's healthcare system, you begin to realize that it's unworkable on many, many levels. And again, when you have a monopoly in place, as you do in the pharmaceutical business, They don't want to disrupt their monopoly in any way. So it's not a matter of not having a good idea. It's a matter of having the will to take on an entrenched monopoly.
But you don't think that they would see that as something that would be to their advantage? I mean, because they could, couldn't they make more money on this system too?
It's hard to imagine any way that they could make more money than they currently make. The profits on the big pharma and big drug companies are quite staggering in the current system. And it's any change to that system is not going to be welcomed by them in any way. If you recall, when Hillary got into the White House with Bill Clinton, the drug company stocks all crashed by 30 or 40%. On the idea that there would be some change to America's healthcare system. And it was only through massive lobbying and spending on the part of Big Pharma that her program was derailed. She since has gotten into bed with these big pharmaceutical companies, as was pointed out in Michael Moore's latest film.
Right.
He did a very interesting piece. I'm not sure that I would entirely trust her now to do what she did back then or tried to do. But you saw in the stock prices, there was a crash in those healthcare stocks based on Hillary's idea. These healthcare stocks are...
Recently?
Are very... Well, back when she first got into the White House.
Oh, you mean now, Bill. Okay.
With Bill.
Yeah.
And so any idea that goes forward that could be a threat to those stock prices is going to be vigorously... opposed, and this is the issue, and there are many ways to approach the healthcare in the United States, but first I think you need to understand that the problem is you've got this monopoly position. There's a monopoly position here, and until somebody decides to break apart the healthcare monopoly and to bring transparent pricing across the board. The problem is nobody knows what the prices are that people are actually paying. Nobody knows the prices that are really involved in delivering the health care. It's completely opaque. The first step is let's make it transparent. That's the first step. And then people will obviously see what the obvious answers are. But there has to be a will then to take on this entrenched monopolist in the system. Which Hillary does not have that will. I do not believe.
I think Obama does have. And I really don't mean to make this about the presidential candidates, because frankly I don't care at this point. Our primary is past and whatever. But what I just find it an interesting discussion, because what I don't understand is, on the surface at least, Obama's health plan seems weaker to me. But he does have that, you know, he does seem, you know, at least seem to have that character that he can go up against these big companies and whatnot. But then
why? He's good. He seems like a wild card that, you know, once every, I've been watching American politics since the 1960s, and you really do get the sense that Barack Obama could be that once in a 50-year phenomenon of somebody who's actually going to affect genuine change. Now, I mean, have I drunk from the Obama Kool-Aid? My answer to that is, like, America's a very young country. It's only been around for a couple hundred years. You know, why do we need some old fuddy-duddy like Hillary Clinton representing this very youthful and vigor country? Yeah. That is America. Why not have a youthful, vigorous, young black man who is very articulate, who he might, he might do something. I know that Hillary won't, and I know that John McCain won't, and there's a chance that maybe Obama will. I mean, there's a chance. So on that chance, it seems like, you know, he could represent. You really have to go back to JFK to find the same level of excitement.
Yeah. You know, I saw a car when I was, you know, because he's from, this is the city where he comes from. And I've even, you know, like I said before, when he ran before for senator, I met him when he came into the Starbucks where I was sitting, drinking my fair trade coffee. But the thing is, like, I was walking past the Black Jewel, And I guess he wouldn't really like it that I call it the Black Jewel. Oops. But I was walking past the Black Jewel and I saw a car that had one of those visors that protects it from the sun, and it said Hope on it. You know, and it was clearly an Obama advertisement. You know, it was in his colors. And I thought, you know, this is interesting because anybody who can really give Americans hope, and, you know, you can talk about it, you know, people talk about it being empty words and whatnot, but I have no hope. I have little, you know, and the fact that he's giving a lot of people hope, that's pretty amazing, I think, because, you know, well, I know how hard it would be for me to have hope. I don't have it yet.
Well, I mean, if you can,
it's worth a
if
lot,
you
though.
Contrast, if you contrast, let's say, the United States system with the system in Britain, which is one of the closest democracies, the oldest democracy, they have a parliamentary system, they have two parties, people vote for the party, and it's the same guys from the same very she schools year after year. There's very little changes. You know, in America, we have this huge system, this long protracted system of primaries. It's very expensive, and there's an emphasis on the individual and not the party. Now, to me, it seems like a complete waste of money. But then again, it's that system fielded out of 300 million Americans. One guy, you know, slipped through, got through all of the hurdles to get into this position now of actually becoming the president of the United States, which is it reinvigorates the idea of how the founders created the system back 220 years ago, that there is the ability for there is a possibility of a meritocracy. There is that possibility. We haven't seen it in America in decades because of the special interest groups and because it's a complete failure of the politics to escape the monopolies and the corruption. Because remember, you know, going back in our lifetimes, we had, after Kennedy, we had Nixon, we had Reagan, we had just a long list of career hacks. So this is the first time we're really reaching back into something that I think it's in our DNA as Americans, but we have not really exercised those muscles in a long, long time.
Okay, I want to.
We've been
sorry. Yeah. I just want to finish because I've been on this show for 90 minutes, but I wanted you to. I want to put closure on something that's been outstanding for a while, because every time we talk about gold, Bicycle Mark, you know, has a very strong reaction, and I understand his reaction, which is a very moralistic one. And I know that you have a different opinion, and I just want you to sort of respond to that, and in some way that maybe we can end this discussion. Because I'll tell you, for me, assuming what Bicycle Mark is saying is true, and he's done a couple shows about it, which I have no reason not to believe, but I guess I'm choosing to protect myself anyway, and not, you know, I'm basically ignoring that particular issue. I'm voluntarily. If mining is killing people, then I'm knowingly buying gold and it's killing people. And I'm admitting that now. But how do I know, I'm serious, but how do I know that silver, because he's purchasing silver, how do I know that silver mining doesn't silver mining cause problems? And then how do you compare that to the fact that if you're not buying gold, then your money is in U.S. dollars? And what is, you know, what's the word? What moral effect is that having on the world? You know what I mean? Like, at some point, you have to accept that you're an evil doer. You know, and me, I'm an evil doer from financing this war through my taxes. I admit that. And along the same lines, I'm an evil doer by buying gold, but I'm protecting myself. And, you know, and I just don't see a world where I can avoid being an evil doer. To use Bush, what do you, I, can you?
Sure. I mean, I, that? I, yeah, sure. I've chatted with Bicycle Mark on this and other issues similar, because it goes all the way back, you know, to our Coca-Cola boycott. Mm-hmm. Because on our Coca-Cola boycott, it's the idea of the Coca-Cola boycott was that it was the most economically effective way to engage in a boycott. And it's strictly looking at economics, because as a way to come up with something a little bit different than what you typically find in an NGO or various groups. You know, they try to take a position of a morally superior position, mm-hmm. and that through their moral superiority, they're attempting to convince the other side. Let's say it's Exxon or Coca-Cola or Monsanto. They're trying to convince the other side to be more moral. So when I started getting involved with these issues, I thought, well, maybe there's a way to make it so that these millions and millions of people who have an opinion about what these corporations are doing, can their interests be harnessed in a way that's pure economics that would be able to match the economic strength of what they're fighting against and forget the morality completely, put the morality completely aside. So that was the concept of the Karma Bank. Now, if you go to the gold mining issue, there is, yes, you can invest in gold, and gold is going to go a lot higher. But remember that when you're buying gold, and you touched upon it earlier, it's the world's fourth currency now. It's competing with the dollar, and the U.S. dollar is the world's worst currency. It funds the worst ecological devastation in the world. It funds all these wars that are purely for convenience on the part of arms manufacturers. There's no ideology that I can see whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So the dollar is really a wicked, wicked currency. So by buying gold, you are divesting. The world is divesting out of dollars. The dollar, if the dollar goes to zero, mm-hmm. I'm saying that this is a net human rights benefit to the world economy and the world ecology if you take this dollar out of the picture. Now, just like Coca-Cola, you know, if you were successful in the Coca-Cola boycott, it would result in many people losing their jobs. Mm-hmm. Now, that's part of the equation. You know, we don't live in a moral vacuum. There's a cause and effect. Now, gold and gold mining and all mining is, for the most part, a dirty business, and it's done in places that are not respectful of human rights. That's true. But on a net human rights basis, I think by disenfranchising the dollar and supporting gold, you got a net human rights benefit. Now, somebody may say to me, well, you can't put a price on morality. You can't put a price on human rights. And I'm not saying that everyone should. All I'm saying is that everyone should at least think about this dimension when they are contemplating spending time being an activist or being a political activist, because it's exactly how the other side is thinking about you. So you should know how they're thinking about you so that you can maybe organize yourself in a way to more effectively use what you have, the time that you have, and the limited resources that you have. I'm not saying my views or my methods are the best methods. I think that they offer something on a cost-benefit basis that is sorely lacking in the political activist space. And, you know, I welcome any discussion on it. Bicycle Mark he's very active in the community, and his views are extremely important. You know, that's what I have to say about it.
So, it sounds like what you're saying is, no matter what you do, if you're going to participate in an economy, unless it's a utopia, which to my knowledge doesn't exist today, there is going to be some damage, some ethical damage being done by your participation in that economy, and it's a matter of weighing those and comparing those. In other words, you're not denying the fact that gold causes human rights abuses, that gold mining causes human rights abuses. It obviously does. But what you're saying is, by buying gold and divesting in the dollar, the net benefit to humanity is a positive one.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. In my view,
okay.
That if gold trumps the dollar and the dollar goes out of business and takes with it the worst ecological human rights abuser, which is dollar-denominated U.S. economy, you've got a human rights benefit.
Yeah.
Now, is that a cold, calculating, capitalist way to look at things? Yeah, sure. But
not really. I mean, it may be capitalist, but it's I don't think it's colds. I don't think it's cold because you're concerned. I mean, you have you're definitely you have issues with the U.S.'s behavior in the world, and you're doing something about it, and it's a completely different way than the activist, and many would argue more effective. So I don't think that's cold and calculated.
Well, one thing about on the activist side of the equation is when you get into a discussion of morality, mm-hmm. and you get into a discussion of what company is doing bad things and which company is doing even worse things,
yeah.
it gets into a very equivocation, and you get into very long, drawn-out discussions, and it becomes very quickly you dissipate the power. You know, there should not be 10,000 NGOs in the world all trying to be the one that has the greatest moral imperative. There should be only a few NGOs, and they should leverage their numbers in a way that get results, and those results should be quantifiable.
Right.
You know, anyone who's fighting for the rainforests should know the exact acreage of all rainforests everywhere, right. how many trees are in each rainforest, and every dynamic that goes into those rainforests, and then do whatever can be done to make sure that whoever's not on that side of the equation doesn't have access to water, doesn't have access to whatever it takes to do battle with those rainforests. And it's an economic battle. This is an economic battle. And so when you have this idea, in other words, if Bicycle Mark came to me and said that he and 2 million other of his activists group had the single definition of what the moral imperative was, and then I would say, okay, great, but let's just do it on a moral imperative. But that's never the case.
Right,
you always hear, you know, 100 different interpretations of what the moral imperative is. And this is, unfortunately, we are running out of time. You know, as James Lovelock has said over in the UK, he's a scientist who came up with the Gaia theory, and he came up with he's been an ecologist for 30 years. He's saying, frankly, he doesn't see the ecology, the global ecology, lasting really in any meaningful way past another 20 years from now.
Well, did you see that seed bank article? I think I posted a link to it. But in Norway, there's a seed bank, which is basically a Noah's Ark of agriculture. It already exists today, and it's being filled. It's this huge bunker under an ice sheet in Norway storing basically a Noah's Ark full of every seed known to man today in preparation for extinction. I mean, it's, you know, I don't think that would happen if it wasn't real.
The preparations going on now from people around the world who are preparing for, you know, the ecology really breaking apart in substantial ways in the very near future. I think listeners to your show are more sensitive to this than the mainstream media is. But, you know, again, my point is what I try to do is just to, I always say, never go to a gunfight with a knife.
Right.
You know, the corporations are so, they have a 360-degree view into your life, and they are trying to pick you apart cell by cell, thought by thought, you know, and it's all done with economics, basically.
Yep.
It's all done with...
It's fighting fire with fire.
I would think so, yeah.
Okay, I need to go, but I want to explain one thing to the audience first. Obviously, Bicycle Mark isn't here today to defend himself. I don't, you know, and part of the reason, I mean, Mark is welcome to come back here, and he will, to defend his views. The thing is, I just don't want to debate on my show because I listen to debates on Democracy Now! A lot, and I think it just causes people on both sides to say dumb things because they have to defend their points, and turns into more than a fight than anything. For me, I think this is a better way to have a discussion, and that's my show. If you don't like it, you can get fucked. Anyway, thanks for being on the program, Max. It was a very interesting discussion.
Well, it's a pleasure.
Okay, I'm going to go stick a big dildo up my vagina and and think about religieuse.
Are we the religieuse? We just up at the patisserie.
See,
I remember finally you and I were together in Paris, Mads. We'll always have Paris.
When what?
We'll always have Paris.
True. True. All right. Chris, you're welcome to do a wrap-up show if you want. I don't give a fuck. Okay. I'll see you all later. Thank you, and thanks, Max.
Yeah.
Bye. And now I'm hanging up. The broadcast, you're welcome to do whatever the hell you want to with it, Chris. I got to talk to Miserly or whatever the fuck his name is. And then I'm going to talk to Andrew Vera once she's done with the beat, too. Bye, everyone. Thanks for watching. Get fucked twice.